Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
I don't know, but I almost think God's children were so precious to him that was not a murder.
Right, the same with me. That's where my thought process is that, you know, they were probably being overly cruel, and he did what he had to do.
He did what he had to do, yes, absolutely. So when Christ went into the temple and he seen all of this commerce going on in there, which was a necessary thing, but not there.
Right.
It was supposed to be out away from the temple. That is God's place. That is a holy place. Keep your commerce out. He ripped the tables open, threw them all around, and my Father's house is a house of prayer, not of commerce. So, but this stuff is all being generated right here. Verse 62, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the he-goats for a sin offering, for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the 10th day of Ahinezer, the son of Amimashaddai, prince of the children of Dan, offered. His offering was one silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them filled with fine flour, mingled with oil for a meat offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahinezer, the son of Amimashaddai. On the 11th day, Pergah, the son of Ochran, prince of the children of Asher, offered. His offering is one silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels, a silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. And this was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran, on the 12th day. Ahira, the son of Enan, prince of the children of Naphtali, offered. His offering was one silver charger. The weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Enan. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels, and all the oxen of the burnt offerings were 12 bullocks and 12 rams, and rams 12. The lambs of the first year 12, and their meat offerings, and the kids, the goats for sin offerings 12. And all the oxen of the sacrifice of the peace offerings were 20 and 4 bullocks. The rams 60, and the he-goats 60, and the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar. After that, it was anointed. I misspoke earlier. They all brought the exact same thing. When I was reading quickly, I kind of thought I seen something different. But every one of those brought the exact same thing. And when Moses was gone unto the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Here, David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible here on WVFF 97.7. Into God's beautiful book, Basic Information Before Leaving Earth. Don't go home without it. If you read it slowly and methodically and you look at every sentence, reading quickly now because we're in Leviticus and Numbers, a little laborious reading. A lot of repetition. It'll put you to sleep sometimes if you're not fully enthralled by this book. A lot of Christians endeavor to read all the way through the Bible and they get into these laborious portions and they fall to the wayside. So on your first trip to the Bible, when you get to these portions, read a couple chapters and then flip to another book where there's an interesting storyline. Read and then flip back a couple more chapters, flip over, read the storylines. And it will actually be a good thing to do. I don't recommend reading from cover to cover. I have my own process set up where you skip all over the Bible. I found things in one book that pertain to things in another book. So I'm constantly flipping from this book to that book until you read the entire contents. But at least go through it one time. But read this Bible hundreds of times through. Chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps will give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof was beaten work, according to unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water, a purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so to make them clean. Moses was the only one whose heart was following after God. He was still under the Abrahamic covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So he's the only one that could do the process of cleansing these priests. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. Thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And we said earlier that laying of the hand upon the innocent animal's head was a ceremony that showed the transference of the guilt to the innocent animal, and then the innocent animal's blood was shed, just like it was in the garden when God killed the animal to cover Adam and Eve's sin so that they didn't have to die. So these animals are continually sacrificed so the human beings do not have to die until God can bring about one supreme perfect sacrifice, because these animals were not perfect. They were innocent, but they were still in imperfect flesh. The ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, came, lived a perfect life, followed his Father with all of his heart, and circumcised his flesh, and fulfilled the law in every aspect, and then was sacrificed once and for all of mankind. And all you have to do is ask for the grace of Christ to receive it. Thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and for his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. The Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in and do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. But they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such that opens every womb. God said earlier, everyone that comes out of the womb, the first one is mine. But he has changed that now. He says, I take the tribe of Levi as mine, so that every one of your firstborn don't have to be mine. Okay, so I'm taking these right here, and they are going to be mine. Even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I've taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to unto all the Lord had commanded. Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron for his sons. So there is a big process that these priests have to go to before they can go into the tabernacle and be considered clean and holy before God. Major process, clothes, washing clothes, putting on certain types of clothes, washing the bodies. They said they even shaved their entire bodies. God has put all of these processes in place. They go in, they do their service, and the moment they exit that door, they are unclean again. That is the law. You cannot maintain a state of holiness in this body. The only thing you can do is maintain a state of spiritual holiness in the soul of man that resides in the heart. God said, follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. That means the spirit man that God breathed into each and every one of us resides. The Bible says it resides in the heart of man. The mind of man, the Bible says, is contrary to God. And this piece of flesh that you drive around every day is an abomination to God. It is the job of the spirit man to follow after God. And in doing so, he will gain control of this mind that is in control of this body. And in such doing, you will have the wherewithal to find your way to Jesus Christ. It's absolutely up to the spirit man. And if you feed this body more than it needs, you will lose control of its spirit man. If you give it more than it needs in any type of comfort, you will lose control of it, spirit man. You must give it only what it needs to survive. You see these fat preachers waddle up to these podiums, and I have been heavy at times, and during those times, my spirit man struggled just with the basic things that I know that I need to do to try to maintain a relationship with God. This thing will get control of you if you don't keep control of it. And it's a dangerous thing to get into. Paul says, the things I love, I find myself not doing. The things that I hate, I find myself doing. Because the spirit man is not always in control. And a lot of it has to do with how much you feed it and how much pleasure you give it and how much comfort you give it. You got to keep it just right on the line. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upwards they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting up on the service thereof, and shall serve no more. They have a 25-year term, and then go into retirement. But shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. There are many mysteries hidden in here. God said so himself. Says, it does me good that kings search out the mysteries in my book. So elevate yourself to the position of a king and search his book. And the more you read it, the more will unfold before your eyes. And you will actually understand spiritual meanings behind carnal sentences and paragraphs. There is so much in here, and there isn't a human being alive that has found all the mysteries in this book. Mm-hmm. Chapter 9, Book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. They've been out 2 years now, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at evening, ye shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it, according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man. So there's some guys, somebody died, and they obviously carried him somewhere and buried him. Okay? Not a bad thing to do, a necessary task. But they were sinful and defiled at that point. Okay? God says you don't touch dead things, but it's a necessary thing. There is where the law is so binding. You can't even do necessary things in life without making yourself unclean before God. That they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. Those men said unto him, "We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord at his appointed season among the children of Israel?" Moses said unto them, "Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you." I bet you those were some nervous fellas.
Oh, yeah.
Stand still, and let me ask God about it.
And they're talking to Moses.
Yes, yes. And all the way up there, they're chatting among themselves. What do you think they'll do? What do you think? Is God going to incinerate us like he did Aaron's sons?
Can I smoke a cigarette before I go?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. Yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month at evening. They shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." Guess what? God just overrode the law, because the law says you cannot do it. God says, "I am going to override that in this situation." Mm-hmm. God has full control of the law. He's the one that put it on them because they would not trust in him. They would not follow him with all their heart. So he's putting them in bondage. But he makes a way when exceptions like this need to happen. "They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover. They shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not on a journey and forbear to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people." So, if you are in a defiled state, I'm going to make an exception and you can keep the Passover. But if there are any who are not defiled or for any reason do not keep the Passover, they shall be cut off from the people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. Okay, there we go. Let's say we talked about you can unconsciously sin. You can sin by accident. So Jonathan's got his tribe out hunting in the wilderness, and they're having a really good hunt, and they lose track of the days, and they totally forget it was the 14th day. They come back and they see everybody cleaning up from the Passover. Oh no, you are just cut off from your people. Mm-hmm. It's that easy. You are, get out of the camp.
Right, aware or unaware.
Aware or unaware. Yep. The danger of the law. Why would anyone in the age of Jesus Christ wish to hang on to this binding monstrosity that Paul said is a bondage unto death? Verse 14, chapter 9, book of Numbers. "And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land." So a stranger can come in and honor God, just as it was in Egypt. Whomever was beyond the doorpost where the blood was put was safe and secure. He makes no ordinance for non. That's why it, all through Genesis, you know, God's people are the Hebrews. They're my chosen ones. But if you purchase someone and they wish to be one of you, circumcise them and they're one of you. If a stranger comes to the camp and he wants in the family, circumcise him and he's one of the family. God never said he excluded everyone else. And yes, he had his chosen ones for a reason, to bring Jesus Christ into this world for a supreme sacrifice, but he never at any time excluded anyone, as does Christ today. All are welcome. Come as you are, just as you are. Verse 15, "And on the day the tabernacle was reared up in the cloud, covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at evening there was upon the tabernacle as it were the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by the day and appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there was the children of Israel pitched their tents. So the tabernacle was taken down, put in all those wagons. Everything was packed up by ordinance. Mm-hmm. You didn't just get a big tow sack and start throwing them candlesticks in.
Yep.
Everything was meticulously packed up, put away, stored in these wagons, and moved to the other place. The Ark of the Covenant was put on poles and placed on the shoulders of four Hebrews, and they walked it there. That had to be the greatest job of all, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yes. Very, not nerve-wracking whatsoever.
And you couldn't touch it. If you touched it, you would die, and you're just mere inches away from it.
Yep.
You remember the guy when they were carrying the Ark in David's company?
Yep.
And they stumbled.
Yep.
And out of just, reaction, mm-hmm. the Ark, I can't let...
Didn't want it to fall.
Yes, right. Didn't want it to fall. He grabbed it. He was instantly killed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, is that a tragedy? Did he intentionally sin? No, he didn't, but there is the law. The law makes no substitutions except when God himself specifically steps in and creates a statue such as he did for those who were unclean during the Passover. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle and after the children of Israel... Okay, I already got that one. Verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode on the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, the days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us, studying God's amazing word. Everything, every applicable thing in life is in this book. We're currently in Numbers. We're into the law, and I'm trying my hardest to show you that the law is bondage, absolute bondage. So many Christians dabble in the law. So many Christians want to hang on to the law and attempt to make themselves holy by process and procedure and religion. Paul says you cannot do it. It ends in death and destruction. Chapter 10, book of Numbers, you must look to Jesus Christ for your salvation and your holiness. And we're talking about spiritual holiness. That's all God ever expected when he gave the first covenant to Abraham, which was not the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. He gave him the first covenant. He said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. If you followed God with all your heart, you were holy. God made exception for the body. Everything in this world under the law brings defilement to the body, okay? All God ever wanted was your heart. And if the heart is right, the mind will be under control, and you will control the body as well. Looks like we're out of time here today, but I'm glad you could be with us. And Between the Lines, understanding God's beautiful word and the mysteries therein. We're going to be through Numbers here shortly and be on to some more fascinating things, although I find things in here fascinating, and you need to read it through. Dive into your Bible, folks, and don't go home and face your Creator when he says, did you read my book? He'll already know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read my book?
It's
a loaded question. One of the simplest things that you can do, accepting Christ is the simplest thing. But to show your love, at least read his book through. And once you read it through, a hunger will come upon you and you will devour it. Good to be with you, and we'll see you next time on WVFF 97.7 Between the Lines with David and Jonathan.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.